Well, it is wonderful to sing some music. Isn't it amazing how those songs that sometimes we just think of as Christmas hymns, like a Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but when we look at these kind of Christmas songs, just the depth of the theology and the understanding of what happened, and it's just so wonderful at this time of year to come together and sing songs like that. But today what we're going to do is it going to be one of those days? What we're going to do is we're going to continue a series that we started last week on peace. Peace. If you look at the banners that we have up, I'm going to go ahead and grab that microphone. If you look at the banners that we have up, that verse is a verse that I think is just a great verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and then watch that last one, "Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. And so last week, we talked about the connection with Jesus coming to this earth, God in human form coming to this earth, and this idea that the angels proclaimed that there was a coming of peace on earth. But in so many of our lives, we have an issue with peace. We are full of stress. We are full of anxiety. We are full of worry. And God says that he is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that he could give us a peace beyond understanding. So I said, we're going to take the next 4 weeks, or three now, and we're going to take a deep dive into what peace is. Now, one phrase that I've heard this last week, and really over the last few months, is this phrase of "something stole my peace." Have you ever stated something like that? Like, everything's going good, and then this person entered in, and that stole my peace. Or this situation happened, and that stole my peace. I want to talk today about unstealable peace. A peace that you don't have to worry about being stolen. It's the difference between exterior peace and interior peace. Let me give you an example. What I want to ask today is I'm just going to do just a quick little exercise. If I could get everybody just to clear your mind for a second, I know that's easier for some of you than for others, just clear your mind for a second, and if I say, I want in your mind to just get a picture of the most peaceful scene that you can imagine, right now, you got that picture in your mind? The most peaceful scene you can imagine. Now, you can open your eyes if you've got them closed, because here's what I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess that some of you maybe had this beautiful ocean, you know, with the waves and the breeze coming in. Some of you might be on a mountain somewhere. Some of you might be looking at a little basket full of kittens. I mean, I don't know what you're looking at, but I want to ask you this. Did any of you think of a storm? Did anybody think of a storm as the most peaceful situation? Anybody think of some very scary, dark scene when I said think of the most peaceful situation? No, we don't, right? When we think peace, we get this beautiful idea of what the scene should be. But let me challenge that for a second. Let me challenge you. I heard a story about two students in an art class. They were kind of going back and forth about being the best artist in the class. And the professor of the class said, he said, okay, I'm going to give you an assignment, you two. And he said, I'm going to give both of y'all an assignment, and I'm going to compare how you do on this assignment to decide which one of you is the best artist. And he said, here's your theme. Paint me a picture of the most peaceful scene that you can paint. Paint me a picture of perfect peace. Perfect peace is what he asked for that to be. So both the artists went home and they started painting, and they had a deadline. And this one kid, he just said the most, and you know, he had that beautiful scene of the beach. It was tranquil. You know, there were mountains in the background. I mean, it was just that scene probably that you had in your mind. And he painted that perfectly. He looked at it and he said, oh, just looking at it gives me peace. He said, I'm going to win this. And so he takes it up and he drops it off in class. And the professor said, just drop it off. He said, I'll tell you the next day what it's going to be. And when he did, he got a glimpse of the other guy's painting. And he said, it was the most horrific storm that he had ever seen in his life. He said, it was just the most unpeaceful painting. He said, this guy must have misunderstood the professor. He must have not known what it was. And so the next day, he comes into class, and there in front, there's the picture that won the contest, the painting that won the contest. And it was the guy who painted the storm. And so the student went up to the professor and he said, why did that picture win the contest? You said, paint perfect peace. And he said, I want you to look at that picture. And he said, what do you see? He said, oh, just the most horrific storm I can imagine. He said, now look down in the corner. And in the corner was this little songbird hiding in the cleft of one of the rocks, just singing its little heart out. He said, with your painting, he said, I could take a brush of black paint and just take it across the top of it. And he said, it would ruin your painting. But he said, in this one, with this little bird singing in the most horrific situation, the peace that's inside that little bird, he said, there is nothing I could do to rob the peace out of that painting. And I thought about that for a minute. You know, the first guy said, give me an exterior peace, make everything peaceful. The second artist, the one that won, said, I'm going to focus in on interior peace and put it in the worst situation and say, interior peace can't be stolen. It's right there. What about you today? Do you have interior peace or do you need exterior peace? How do we get that? How do we get a kind of peace like that little songbird has? How do we get that peace that the situation doesn't matter, that when I say, what is perfect peace, you have an image inside you of what peace is? So I just named this, how to have unstealable peace. We're going to go to the first part of Scripture, 1 Peter 5:6-7. 1 Peter 5:6-7. If you want to have unstealable peace, the first thing you need to do is cast your anxieties on God and then ... Everybody got that? ... Put it in your notes. You have to cast your anxiety on God and then ... Let's look at those scriptures. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And verse 7 says this, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So it says anxiety, right? That's the opposite of peace. It says if you have a life that is full of anxiety and stress and worry, it says this is what you need to do. First thing you need to do is humble yourself in front of God under his mighty hand. What does that mean? That means to say, God, I trust you. I realize I can't do anything about this. I can't change the situation I am. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to humble myself and say, I can't do anything about this, God, but your mighty hand can do something about it. You know, how many times in the scriptures do we see God's hand do something? God's hand create. Jesus reaching out to Peter as he's walking on the water. The hand of God. If we say, God, I can't do it, but your hand can. And then that thought of cast your anxiety. We have trouble with this one sometimes. Sometimes we just want to kind of say, here, God, take it. Just take all my worry, take all my stress. You know, we just kind of weak, right? I grew up in Union City, Tennessee, not too far from our house. My great-grandmother was still alive when I was a kid. We called her Mama Annie, and Mama Annie lived on Real Foot Lake. And I remember as a little kid going down to Real Foot Lake and getting to fish. Now, when you're a little kid fishing, you get a pole and a string and a little floater, right, with a hook with a worm on it or a cricket or something, and you sit on the bank and you just plop it in. I think that's what most of us do with our stress. You know, we just kind of say, here, God, and just kind of watch it bob in front of us. But my granddad, and my dad and all the other men, they had tackle boxes, right? With just the most beautiful lures inside them. And they wouldn't have just a pole with a line, right? They would have a rod and a reel. And they'd get out on the boat, and they would get out there, and what would they do? They wouldn't plop their line in. They would cast it, right? Send it out as far as it would go, and then reel it back in. Cast it as far as it would go. That's what this verse just said. It says, humble yourself. Say, God, I trust you with what's going on in my life. And I'm not just going to say, here's myself. I'm going to cast that thing. I'm going to get it as far away as I can possibly get. He said, that's where peace will come from. Now, here's the problem. The problem's in the dot, 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 right? Because a lot of you will look at me and say, Blake, I tried that. I tried giving my issue to God. And it's like it just bounces off the roof. I've had people tell me before, I've got an issue. I've got a problem. I've been praying about it. And it's actually gotten worse. You ever had that? And then you kind of go, God, where's the peace? I humbled myself. I cast my anxiety. Well, here's the dot, dot, dot. It's in verse 8. It says, verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And then look at the very first warning that Peter gives you after he tells you to cast your anxieties on God. He said, be alert and sober-minded, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Well, thank you, Peter. So if I humble myself before God and I cast my cares on God, the next thing I got to look forward to is Satan coming after me roaring like a lion. That's the dot, dot, dot. You see, in our minds, we cast our cares on God, and then our exterior peace, right, changes. The storm stops. The sickness goes away. The financial issues leave. But that's not what Peter said. He said, trust God, cast your fears, and then get ready because Satan is coming after you. You know, get ready because Satan doesn't want you to have inner peace. Satan wants to steal your peace. I think it's interesting how they describe Satan here. They describe him as a roaring lion. Now, that's interesting because it also says he's coming after you. Have y'all ever seen a lion coming after their prey? They don't usually roar. In fact, one of my favorite scenes from Lion King, y'all ever watch Lion King? Is when Mustafa is teaching Simba how to pounce. We're going to have pouncing lessons. And little Zazu, the little bird that kind of reports everything, the king, Mufasa, says, Zazu, turn around. Okay, why? We're having pouncing lessons. And he said, but turn around. And all of a sudden, everything goes silent. And the next thing you know, Simba pounces on Zazu. See, a lion that's going to attack you isn't roaring. A lion that's going to attack you is in pouncing mode. What is a roaring lion? A roaring lion is when it's bringing fear into your life, right? Now, I'm not saying that he won't attack you, but I'm saying it's interesting. If he really wanted to get you, he wouldn't make a sound. But what he really wants to do is he wants to replace that fear in your life that you just gave to God. Roar! Yeah, that's the dot, dot, dot. See, as Christians, we say, God, I'm praying that you'll take it away, and then we look for the exterior change, and Satan says, no, I'm going to steal that peace from you. Because why do you have peace? You have peace because you trust God. God, you're in control. God, you're going to take care of my physical issues, my financial issues, my marital issues. And Satan knows if he can bring fear back into your life, it will steal that trust that you have in God. So number one thing is to cast your fears and anxieties on God. But the dot, dot, dot says you better be ready for what's coming next. If you're not, it's going to be the roar that scares you. What's next? So point number two. Point number two is, after you've given your anxieties to God, the next thing you should do is set your feet with the peace that you get from God, and then let God, that'll be number three in just a second. But let's stop with set your feet with peace first. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, it's the armor of God. It says in chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against" what? Does anybody remember? The devil. So you can take your stand against the roaring lion. So you can take your stand for what's going to happen when you trust God and you cast your anxieties out there. It says, go ahead and get your armor on, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your struggle isn't against what you're seeing that's causing you anxiety. That's not your struggle. Your struggle is against the rulers and against the authorities and against the power of the dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when that day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you stand, after you have done everything, stand firm then with what? With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and then watch this in verse number 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So this is interesting. Why would he use shoes to describe how peace should have an effect on your life? I mean, you got to admit it's an odd illustration. You know, when I think, boy, if I had God's peace in my life, I would have the best shoes in the world on. That doesn't connect usually. Why would he say, as this armor, you know, I can understand this belt, you know, the belt, you know, that holds everything together, and the breastplate, you know, that's what protects you. But if you look at the pictures of Roman soldiers, overall, you know what their shoes were? Sandals, right? They were these boot sandals, open-toed. And you just kind of go, so peace is an open-toed boot sandal? But that open-toed boot sandal, if you flipped it over, and they would know this because they saw Roman soldiers all the time, had spikes-like cleats on the bottom of it. It was the shoe that if you're in battle, you set your feet so that you're ready for the attack to come. This is what he said. He said, you want peace in your life? Let peace, when you give it over to God, let God say, your peace is going to be like these shoes. That's going to give you the ability to stand. The ability to stand no matter what comes at you. Listen, one of the greatest peace verses in the Bible is Psalms 23, right? Psalms 23, you know, God, lead me beside still waters. Let me lay down in green pastures. That's that exterior peace. It's okay to pray for that exterior peace, but if you finish that chapter, you're going to get, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That doesn't sound like exterior peace, does it? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, when you get that peace from God, be ready, because he's giving you some shoes. That if Satan attacks you, it might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you sat there and say, I've got God's peace as you're walking through it. He said, I'm going to prepare a banquet for you in the midst of your enemies. Can you imagine sitting down with God and all your enemies just circling you? That doesn't sound very peaceful just in the first image of it. But God says, that peace that I'm going to give you is going to allow you to take that roaring lion, those attacks that come, and it's going to give you a solid footing. It's not going to stop the lion from coming. It's not going to change the circumstances. It's going to give you a solid ground to stand on. So when you pray and say, God, take this away from me, he's going to give you some peace. It's not going to change everything, But think of that peace that he gives you. Okay, I'm going to put those on my feet. And I'm going to be ready for the roaring lion. And then God will, dot, dot, dot. Let's see what that dot, dot is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a great chapter. We're going to particularly look at 16 through 23. So you can put your finger there. But before we do that, let me real quick just kind of tell you what the writer of Thessalonians is doing here. At the first part of 15 in verse number 3, you don't really have to look at it, but you can. He describes people who he says are saying that they have peace and safety, but destruction is actually coming. So first he describes people out there that's going, hey, here's where you get peace. Here's where you come to get peace and safety. Come in here. But in all actuality, it is a fake peace. If anything, it's an exterior peace that can instantly change like any exterior peace in the world. So first he describes that. Then if you pull on over to verse number 13, it says he's talking about those who follow Christ, who are these Christians. He said, hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. He said, now over here, he said, here's the fake peace, but I want you to have the real peace. And how do you have that real peace? In verse number 19, it says, let's start in 16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. We'll come back to that. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And then here we go, verse 23. May God himself. Boy, that's a powerful three words. He said, you want something? Then let me give you something from God. And in case you don't know who I'm saying, in case you think I'm thinking God's preacher, or I'm thinking God's Sunday school teacher, or God's, you know, a person who reads the Bible every day, you know, no, not that. From God himself. May God himself, and let me make sure I can describe to you which God we're talking about, the God of peace. He said, you want to hear about real peace? May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you want to have peace? Here's how you have peace. You allow God to sanctify you. Isn't that a great word? Sanctify. Here's what I wrote down. If you want to point number 3, allow the God of peace to grow you and to make you more like him. Allow the God of peace to grow you and to make you more like him. That's what sanctification is. Salvation is saying, God, I trust you for my soul, right? I trust you that you're going to have my eternity in your hand. I trust you that you've got my forever. But while you've already got that taken care of, while I'm here on this earth, you're doing this incredible process called sanctification. That means every day here, he's trying to make you more and more and more like him. Why does God leave you in the middle of that crazy situation? It's because he wants to sanctify you. He said, here, I'm going to give you some cleats because I know it's going to be rough. That wind's going to be hard. But here's why I'm doing it. I'm trying to help you become more and more like me. And even though you would like it, if I just stuck you on the beach with the seagulls flying over and the waves gently coming in and this cool breeze blowing, you'd have an okay life, but you wouldn't be one more ounce like I am. But if I put you in the middle of the hard situation and you learn to depend on me, through that sanctification, you're going to grow and grow and grow and grow until you're like that little bird in the picture where the worst storm could come. And you go, I got inside peace. There's nothing that's going to steal that from me. No change. No person, no situation, no medical thing, no marital thing. Nothing is going to change this inner peace that I have. I want real quick just to show you something which I don't think is an accident in the way the scriptures is written. It says, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless through this sanctification. I don't think the order is an accident. I don't think the order that that verse presents how God is sanctifying you is an accident. It says, first, I'm going to sanctify you within your spirit, right? It says, let me read it one more time. In your spirit, your soul, and your body. First, it comes in your spirit. Then it's going to bleed over into your soul, which will then bleed over into your body. That's the way inner peace works. Starts with the spirit, goes to the soul, enters into the body. The reason that we're not peaceful is we've got it backwards. We want to start with the world and how our body experiences the world. And if it's peaceful in the world, now my soul, my mind, my emotions, they become peaceful because my body is peaceful. And because my body is peaceful and my mind is peaceful, that must mean my spirit is peaceful. And that's what we're looking for in the world. We're looking for a body, soul, spirit experience, right? And the problem with that is that peace that our body is experiencing in this world is short-lived and temporary. And it is. The storm will come. You can have the most beautiful day today, and I promise you, it's not going to be long before a storm comes. And if you are in a body, soul, spirit mentality of peace, you're going to go, oh, everything's wonderful today. Now I have peace. And and you're going to keep wanting that and wanting that and wanting. And your expectation is if God loved me, he's going to continue to give me this experience that starts in my body, moves to my soul, and therefore refreshes my spirit. It will happen sometime. You will lay beside the still waters. You will go to the green grass. But it's not every time. And if your expectations are that it's going to be every time, and that's how you receive peace, you're going to have this constant anxiety, and this constant worry, and this constant stress. And no amount of money or friends or situations are going to solve that. But what if we flipped it? Because God did. Jesus said when he left, he said, you need to be glad I'm leaving. You need to be glad I'm going to die on the cross and go up to heaven. Isn't that weird that Jesus would say that? Wouldn't you think Jesus should say, hey, this is going to be bad, guys. I got to leave for a little while, and it's going to be really hard on you. That's kind of what we would want Jesus to say. It's going to be better if I'm here with you. Wouldn't it be better if Jesus was right here in the room with us? Very careful, because the Bible says it wouldn't be. But in our mind, we would say it would be better if Jesus was right here, because we could see Jesus. We could trust Jesus. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the best thing that could possibly happen is for me to die on that cross, to go up to my Father in heaven, because I'm going to send to you a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Guys, what this means, that as soon as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get I don't even want to call it a spiritual seed, but it gives you the right image. We get a live spirit, a live spirit of God. Can I tell you, in that live spirit of God that you received when you asked Jesus into your heart is every possible ounce of peace that you could ever need in your life. More so. Every possible ounce of peace is in that gift that Jesus gave you when you asked him to come into the center of who you are and be your Lord and Savior. You get the live spirit. It's all there. Now, what do you need to do? It's what he just said in Thessalonians. You need to start there. Don't start with the world. Don't start with your flesh. Start there. Inside you right now is every bit of peace. It's in your spirit. So you have to let your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, be affected by that. You got to say, I'm going to believe truth that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I'm going to believe truth that God is a God of peace. I'm going to believe truth that God wants to give me a peace that passes beyond understanding. Now, Satan's going to start roaring right about there, right? As soon as you start doing it, roar! And you're going to go, flesh! But you have to turn your head back to truth. Now, are things stressful in your life? There's a difference between facts. You know, yes, things are stressful, things are hard, things are going on. But the truth is, you have every bit of peace inside you already need. If you'll just turn your mind, will, and emotions, and every day start renewing your mind in that. Let me show you, because we read it just a while ago. He said, rejoice always. That's a spiritual thing, right? Because always means it's going to be some bad situations. He said, turn your mind to God and take this truth that you can rejoice. He said, rejoice always. Pray continually. Turn your mind. He said, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why can you give thanks? Because you already have everything you need. It's just spiritual. And you have to make your mind move that direction. Now watch the warning. Do not quench the Spirit. He said, stop looking back over here. Stop going, but all this storm. No, don't. Now you're pushing this down and elevating that, right? You're elevating one. And he said, no, elevate this. And then start all over again. You just did it. Now what's the next step after you give God all your anxieties? Get ready for it to come. But this time I'm just a little bit farther along in me becoming more like God. And when it comes again, I'm going to consciously push my mind to truth. And then it's going to start over again. And I'm going to set my feet again. And this time I'm a little bit farther down the line. Until finally, God sanctifies me. And makes me more and more and more like Him. I'll close with this story I heard from Tony Evans. He said, there's a really neat study about how fish don't care about storms. Isn't that interesting? We worry about storms. Dogs worry about storms. Birds worry about storms. Fish out in the sea don't worry about storms. Because the scientific study they did was the worst storm you could possibly think about. Hurricane force storm goes about 25 feet deep into the water. So fish go 26 feet deep into the water when there's a storm. Yeah, when the storm comes, they go deeper. When the storm comes, they go deeper. That's what you need to think about this week. When the storm comes, it's not look back at the storm. It's go, I'm going to go deeper into you, God. I'm going to go deeper into what you've already given me. And as we practice that over and over again, the sanctification of God will clean us up from spirit to soul. Now I have peace in my mind, and then even to our bodies. Some of those stress-related illnesses that we have suddenly disappear as God starts sanctifying the spirit to the soul, to the body. Guys, it's a hard challenge. It takes us all working together. When those storms come, it sure helps if it's not just me there with my cleats on. But Travis or Roy or anybody here side by side with me and not doing it alone. And the challenge for us is as a church to start practicing this and then to go out and live that kind of life in the community that we're in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you this morning. God, that you're a God of peace. And God, as we just think about this Christmas season, we think about that you sent your Son to die on a cross so that you can put your Spirit inside us Doesn't that make it even more so something we should celebrate and say thank you? God, as we enter this time of reflection, God, just do something in our hearts. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, this morning, as we enter this time of reflection, maybe there's something you need to just sit and pray about. Take that first step of saying, God, I'm going to cast that to you. And maybe right now is the time to do that. Maybe some of you, maybe you've never had that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you go, Blake, I don't even have the Spirit yet that you're talking about. I would love to tell you how to do that, how you can trust Jesus and get that incredible gift from him. And today, I'd love for you to come down, and we could talk about that. Maybe you need some fellow Christians to stand beside you. And today, you want to join our church and become part of our family. This would be a great time for that. Whatever God lays on your heart, we're just going to open this time up, and I'll be down front.